So this is the Happy House Hunters Mastermind. And we've already been talking about where we're going to be doing our in-person meetup. And so I'm always looking for a place. So anyone listening to this, if you have some options, bring them to me and I'll explore those. And Tammy and David just gave us a good choice. I'm going to explore. And Kyle, it's good to see you as you've traveled around the world. So we're glad that you're back. So where are you coming to us from, Kyle? Are you at home today?
Yeah, I am back home. At the new renovation project in Mansfield. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Glad you're back. But it looks like you had a wonderful time. I've been following you across the country on Facebook and all those states. And it sounds like you had a good time just touring the states on your way home. So good for you.
That was a lot of states.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Teddy wanted to drive back cross country, you know, to get his car here instead of shipping it. And it's always been, you know, a bucket list item to see and do some of those things, you know, Yellowstone and Rushmore. So yeah, it was amazing. But Now back to the grind.
Wow. Now, did you stay on top of your emails? We're trying to, of course, I'm talking about freestyle living and working from anywhere in the world. Did you stay on top of your emails or did you come home to a ton of stuff that has to get your attention?
Oh, a little bit of both. Of course, I fielded all of the important ones and then I kind of put the unimportant ones on the back burner. And so that's the task I've been sifting through today is getting through those unimportant ones.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, it's crazy. I know. And I don't know about you, but I get, you know, like 30, 40, you know, emails in a couple of hours. I'm like, what in the world is all this? So I've been doing unsubscribe as much as I can, because a lot of that stuff, again, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I may have like signed up for something or whatever. But then it just keeps coming into my inbox and it's hard to sort through it. And so I've been unsubscribing on a few things. And so anyway, it's working out for me. My inbox is getting a little less filled up by doing that. I don't know if anybody else does that periodically. Anybody else go through and clean out your subscriptions? Yep. Sherry says yes. Welcome, Sherry. Sherry's with us today. Yes. So good to have you, Sherry. So anyway, I want to do a little bit of masterminding today, and Elise is on board, and she is right in the middle of what we're going to be talking about of filling her unit. And David, you and Tammy, either do you have any units open right now, or are you all full?
We're full.
Okay. I'm full too, except for the one we just bought, and of course, it's not ready yet. So I, for all practical purposes, I'm full. So anyway, let's start from the top. And what I want to know is give me, and I'm going to double, so I got my little yellow tablet here. I'm going to double space. So if somebody else comes in with something that's in this, the step-by-step process, we can fill it in. So let's start off with David and Tammy. What is the first thing you do when you have an empty unit? What's number one?
So we've never had to flip a unit. We've had to fill three. That were new acquisitions. So we never actually had to flip a unit. So not a lot of experience in this area. And not even any recent experience, because with our last one, of course, as we've told you, we decided to test out having a third-party management. So they filled it.
Okay. So when you have an empty one, what's the first step that you've taken?
I guess we clean it and, you know, get it ready to fill. And then once it's cleaned, painted, ready, whatever, rehabs, then we, the couple that we have done, we listed them on Facebook.
Okay, so advertising.
Yep.
We do have yard signs.
We do have yard signs.
So yard signs, Facebook, Zillow.
We haven't done Zillow yet.
Craigslist? Yeah, you did Craigslist and they bumped you for some reason. Yes. It wouldn't, yeah.
Right.
I remember that.
And then we, you know, as people are interested, we have them fill out our free application. Okay. And if they qualify, then I offer to show them the unit. And then if they're interested, I have them pay to do the background check. And then we select the best tenant, you know, the one that meets the most qualifications from there.
First qualified tenant.
Okay. So you get the unit ready, then you advertise it. That could mean a lot of different things for a lot of different folks. Yard signs, Facebook, Zillow, Craigslist, wherever you plan on advertising, apartments.com, wherever, marketplace. And then you send them to a free application. You send them a link to a free application. How do they get the free application?
So in Inago, I have my application, which is free. And then if I need to have them do a background check, that's a few other extra button clicks and a charge to them.
But they get to the Inago application actually from our llamaproperty.com website.
Okay.
Or I text them the link to that.
Okay. So somehow they get the link to go to your Inago application. They can complete the application online. They don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to mail them a copy. They're doing it all online. And so now you're getting their application, and only if they qualify, then you actually go through and do the extra couple clicks and get their background check, which they pay for.
Right.
Okay.
So the free application is where I do the
your
cursory lookup. Yeah.
Okay. Pre-screening, so to speak. Okay. Right. All right. Okay. Now we're going to go a little deeper, but before we do, Elise, let's go over to you. What are your steps? Is there anything that you want to add to what Tammy and David are doing, or are you doing something different?
That's pretty similar to what I am doing, still working through Inago and doing the free application. If they qualify, then we do schedule or invite them to come to a pre-scheduled open house. I've been moving away from the open house lately because even when I schedule it and have, let's say, five people saying confirmed for coming, I'll probably have one and three, maybe two drive-bys. So, I mean, I'll still do it. I will attempt to schedule as many people as I can, but I find that I've had a lot more success with people just stopping by because they saw the open house sign that may or may not have been qualified. Same thing, Facebook Marketplace. I've been having decent luck with Zillow Rental Manager. I've had a couple people reach out via there. Craigslist, I don't know what it is. Craigslist does not like me either. I can
really?
Yeah, I can put it up there. I can have all the information. I can have contact. Like it doesn't matter. I don't get too many hits off of Craigslist for this one. So unfortunate. But there's always Facebook Marketplace, and Are You Interested? They will always be there.
And what is Are You Interested? Is that what you're saying? Is it under Marketplace? Is that
when you get into Marketplace? That's normally the message. That's like the standard message they send you: Is this still available? Yes.
Okay.
They're still available.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that Elise does differently is, at least has in the past, I don't know if you did this time, but puts information sheets in a box in her front yard near the for rent sign that has details about it.
Sure do. Actually still did it. And I do QR codes and emails so they can apply. They can do all of their like extra information, and that goes to like a Google sheet that has the Facebook ad, the Zillow ad, and all those things, as well as application.
And all our yard signs don't have a phone number. They just take the person to our website. So it just has our website address. And then I also put the advertisement out there. That way I don't have to keep answering the same questions over and over.
You're smart. Kathy got me hip to it with that vacation reminder. I have that voice message. I send them all voicemail. I will call you back as soon as you leave me a message with what you would like, but all the information is on the voicemail.
Yep. And so again, I'm very similar. I do very similar what you guys are doing. I clean, flip, rehab, whatever the unit needs. And then when I advertise, I go straight to Craigslist first, and it's, that works for me for some reason. I'm not sure why it's not working with Tammy and Elise, but that works for me. I put it on Craigslist because I like the layout. because it has the pictures, the definition, it's got the place for the open house, it's got the map on where it's, I mean, it has everything all in one platform. And then that's the link that I populate across my social media. And so I'm probably getting maybe the looks from social media. It's just I'm linking them back to Craigslist instead of folks actually finding me on Craigslist. And so I have no way to really test and measure that, how many folks actually found me on Craigslist or found me on some other social media platform and it just took them back to Craigslist. But anyway, I like the format of Craigslist because it's easy to kind of make the ad there. And I have not done the fact sheets on site. I have not done the QR codes yet. So that's a great way to get some folks interested. So I made a note of that. I do, once I get on Craigslist, I do then copy and paste because I've got the ad kind of figured out by then when I want to have my open houses or how I'm doing that. And then I put it across over on Zillow and apartments.com. Those are the other two that I advertise on. Didn't care for Marketplace so much for me. Yeah, didn't care for that so much because again, I got like 300. Is this still available? 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 Man. And I was like, oh. So didn't care for Marketplace so much. But then once I do that, I have my application up in Inago, but I also have my application in my website. And like Tammy and David, and again, I had it in my website first for years before I ever went with Inago. So I just never took it out of my website, even though now I have it over on Inago. But again, I do a free application process and they can find me either through the, you know, the link with Inago or the actual website. My yard sign has my website and my phone number. It just says what the unit is, how much it is. And then it's got my phone number and my website right there. And so I put that out in the yard and I order those from Vistaprint. So they're an actual printed sign. I don't go over to Lowe's and get one that I have to take the marker and fill in. I actually just ordered the signs from Vista. They're not very expensive. And that works for me. And I did a little research on what shows up. And then I kind of looked around. I drove around and looked at realtor signs. And if you do the research, it says that red, black, and yellow are the colors that jump out as people are driving. And so I did all my signs with the yellow background with big, bold, black letters and some red around the edges. And so I seem to get a lot of attraction with those. And I think probably my last several I rented because of the yard sign, of all things. Elise said she gets a lot of folks just driving around in her neighborhood and she picks up her tenant from the yard sign. So I do too. And then I do a free application and like Tammy, I kind of do my little, background, what I can do on free sites, just, to check out what's going on. And then again, I go back through and I'll go with the paid one once they get qualified on my first run through. If they're qualified, then I can send them there to do the background. So anybody have anything else they want to add to getting a unit out there? Anything we missed?
Our last one got filled by a tenant referral.
Okay.
So we didn't even have to advertise it. We were in the middle of finishing our rehab on it and the tenant said, when's that going to be ready? I have a friend looking. And so that made it even easier.
Well, and that'll happen to you guys after a while. I probably get 3 to 5 inquiries a week looking for a rental because folks, now the word is out that I have rentals. And so I get either a voicemail or an instant message or an email or a phone call where somebody is saying, hey, I've got somebody that's looking, do you have anything available? And so, yeah, I picked up a couple that way as well. Now, sometimes, though, you have to be careful because sometimes they've explored all the other avenues and they don't qualify. And that's why they're like, we'll call Kathy. Kathy will help them out. And so for those of you that have been with me for a while, you know that I have my advisory board. You all are on it, by the way. And And so, you know, good cop, bad cop. I'm always the wonderful landlord, and you guys are so mean because you always say no. And so I go, I would love to let your cousin who does not have a job, who, you know, has a criminal record, you know, since last Tuesday. And I would love to let him live in my multifamily where I have children next door. But you know what? My advisory board said probably not. So anyway, so don't underestimate the power of your advisory board. And I recommend that you put the advisory board, when you're doing that whole qualification thing, that you put that advisory board right on your website. Now, you don't have to list the people if you don't want to. I actually do, and it actually is my advisory board. If you go to my website, KathyBinnerCompanies.com, I actually have my advisory board right there, and those folks actually are my advisory board. It's my attorney. It's my insurance guy. It's a couple of my real estate friends. It's Kyle is on there. It's folks that I actually go to get advice. They actually are my advisory board. So I put them right on there. So folks see that they're real people and they have real histories in real estate. So you could say that, or you could just do a paragraph that says you're governed by an advisory board, whichever works best for you, but definitely have an advisory board. And this mastermind works for us. Great. If you have questions or problems on like, how should I handle this situation? And so that's kind of what we're about. Now, Sherry says, what about insurance? Sherry, what is your actual question about insurance?
It was funny that we're talking about this today. I was at a local mastermind group that I attend on a Thursday. And the topic was about rentals and real estate investment. And I'm going to a meeting tomorrow afternoon about real estate investing. Now, for everybody here, I'm not at this point. So Kathy can't ask me about my process. I have none. I'm learning because my projection is 2025 to really be financially able to get to that point. But one of the things that they were talking about was in Pennsylvania that short-term rentals fall under group homes here. Is that the case also where you are? And the other thing was, because I know you and I, Kathy, have talked about short-term, mid-term, and long-term. Mm-hmm. It was also talking about the fact that midterms also fall there too. So tell me a little bit more about what insurance looks like, because he said a whole lot that went way over my head.
Okay. In Ohio, it's a little more simplified than that. A midterm falls for us under the same category as long-term, because long-term is anything 30 days or longer is long-term. Normally what we see is we see an annual lease, and then once they're there for a year, oftentimes they go on a month to month after they're there for a year. And that, what that does is by putting them in a property for a year, that helps us not to have to flip the thing every 3 months or every 4 months or every 5 months or whatever. And so that way we know that once somebody signs that contract, chances are they're going to stay the year at least. And then if they like it and we serve them well and they like the location, they'll oftentimes let it go right on into a month to month and just continue. I've had one tenant with me for 17 years and he's been on a month to month for years. And so anything that is 30 days or longer is considered long term. So for us, a midterm is a minimum of 30 days. Well, that falls under the definition of 30 days or longer. So I have just a regular rental policy on my properties that are midterm and long term. And I'm with State Farm, and State Farm simply has a rental, a landlord rental policy in their list. So the only time that I struggle is with short term. And so I'll say this, with short term, we too come under rooming house, boarding houses. That's the category we fall under for short term. And it requires a commercial policy. Now, because there's so many Airbnbs out there these days, and so many like me, where I'm just renting some rooms in my house, If it's my home and I live in it, my State Farm agent can just put a rider on my homeowner's policy to cover my guest. So that one was easy. If I now, I just bought one down on the river and we're going to use it to where we're going to rent the whole house and it's in a residential neighborhood. They have now, State Farm has created a commercial product just for that. And it's about twice the premium, by the way. So instead of $1,000 a year, it's about $1,900 a year.
Okay.
Because the risk is higher.
Yeah. And then the second question that came out of that conversation, and I wanted to ask you this question, was about LLC formation. Mm-hmm. Do you create an LLC for every property, or do you have an overarching LLC that each underneath it has different holdings? Like, how does your LLC work?
Well, first of all, you have to decide how complicated you want your whole business portfolio to look or not look. So if you start off, you can just hold everything as a sole proprietor. That's easy. You don't have to do anything. You just buy a property, you rent it out, you insure it, and you're good to go. The problem is if there is a major loss at that particular property, all of your properties are at risk because you don't have any barrier, legal barrier between them. You own all of them. And so if for some reason one house burns down and a family of four dies in a fire, you're going to get sued, for loss of life. A good attorney could come in and just say, we're going to clean Kathy out. We're going to take everything she's got to cover that claim. Because how do you pay for somebody's life, you know? And so again, it's more complicated than that. The first thing that has to happen is the adjuster has to decide who was at fault with the fire. Was it the house that caused the fire? Was it a faulty wiring, or was it the tenant that caused the fire? Because if it's the tenant's fault, then they're responsible for the loss. So all of that goes into play to determine who was actually at fault. But then at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, you know, maybe I should start putting up some barriers. And the more you have at risk, the more properties you purchase, and the more you have at risk, the more you need to protect. So there's two ways to do that. The number one way is to go out and buy an umbrella insurance policy that sits over top all of your policies. So all of your insurance policies might have a $300,000 liability limit, and you know, for bodily injury or property damage to others, which is where your big losses could come in. And because you've got fire insurance on the house, you know, you've got coverage on the house. So you're talking about if somebody dies in a fire is probably my best example. So you could go out and buy a $6 million umbrella policy and sit it over top, like, and picture it like an umbrella. It sits over top all these other policies here. It's just one policy that sits over top. It's very inexpensive. My umbrella policy is only a couple hundred dollars a year to give me like $6 million worth of coverage. Because the insurance company knows it's not likely that they're going to ever pay out up in $6 million. It's not likely. Possible, but not real probable. And so insurance is based on statistics. And so that premium is very, very inexpensive. And so that's the first line of defense, is to buy that umbrella policy. Then you might say, okay, now that I've done that, I can now sleep at night. But now how can I further protect myself? You might decide to put all of your rentals into an LLC separate from your home and your vacation home. Let's say you've got a house and a vacation house, and then you've got these four rentals. You might put all four rentals into an LLC. That way, if there's a claim inside the rentals, it stays inside just those properties and you wouldn't lose your house and your vacation home. Does that make sense? If you want to go a step further, you might say, I want to put each individual rental property into an LLC. But keep in mind, every time you create an LLC, you have to pay for the creation of the LLC, probably $125 to create the LLC. But then you have some paperwork to do on each one. And so, you have to do that if you're a single member LLC, if it's just you and you don't have a team on that LLC, if it's just you, you can file it right on your regular taxes. And so your only cost is really going to be the $125 filing fee to create the LLCs for each one of those properties. And when you file your taxes, each rental door is on a Schedule E. Doesn't matter whether you're a sole proprietor, doesn't matter whether all the rentals are in an LLC, doesn't matter whether each individual rental is in an LLC, each individual rental property has to have its own Schedule E. And at that point, it's pretty easy if each one's in a separate LLC. So I don't know if that's answered your question, but it comes down to cost, whether you want to take the time to do that, and what you think your risk might be. And of course, that's so hard to guess.
So what? How do you name those? Do you name them by the property address, or yes. is that how you do that? Okay,
I do that only to keep things simple. Name them by property address on my Inago platform. I name them by property address in the LLC. That way, I name them by property address with my maintenance guy. You know, and poor Mark, you know, I go, hey, I need to go out to 57 and then stop by, you know, 58 and 36 and then do 26 on our way back. And he goes, what the heck are you talking about? Now, the problem is when you finally buy a couple of properties and you either have two on Washington Street, which we right now have four on Washington Street. So I can't say Washington Street. Or you have two separate towns with different streets, but they have the same house number. So I had a 57 Columbus in Pickerington and a 57 Waterloo in Canal. So if I said I have to stop by 57, nobody knew which property. So yeah, so that gets a little complicated. But generally, it's pretty hard to have duplicates when you're, unless you start to acquire quite a bit of property. Anybody else's comments on Sherry's question about insurance or LLCs? Anybody else want to jump in there?
So I think the only thing I would say on the LLC, you go to, you know, these meetups that, you know, online, there's lots of attorneys out there that will describe the very complex bulletproof business structure. And it comes with lots of trusts and LLCs and
holding companies
and on and on. And it's probably fantastic if you need it. But the problem with the complexity is that it makes it also, well, I guess the pitfall is it makes it really easy to do something that they call pierces the corporate veil. So suddenly you've, you know, mingled accounts and the multiple LLCs it's like they don't even exist anymore. Suddenly they're gone and they're coming after your house. So, you know, I'm not an attorney. This is personal opinion, but I would go with the simplest structure that you think you can maintain, because if you can't maintain it, then it's just a waste of your time and money.
And what
in addition to that, we do have an LLC and we have multiple properties in it. And our insurance agent just told us that we should get a personal umbrella policy to cover ourselves in case anyone ever sues us. And because we have properties in an LLC, we needed a corporate umbrella policy as well.
Mm-hmm. But like you say, those are cheap.
Yeah.
Yes, like those are very inexpensive. And one more thing that I want to add, when you go to evict someone, you have to have an attorney if your property is in an LLC. You can do your own evictions if it's a sole proprietorship. And again, that's totally saves money unless you say, I never want to do an eviction. So that really is immaterial to me, whether I have the LLC, because I'm going to hire an attorney anyway. I don't want to ever do one personally. But if you end up with a lot of properties, and again, they're not that complicated. Once you do a couple, they're really not. The first one that I did was a property that I bought, and the tenant came with the property. And then at the closing table, the seller, who was also an attorney, told me that, oh, by the way, they haven't paid for 6 months. And I'm like, what? And then he was like, yeah, he said, and I'll help you get them out of there. Because he said, I don't think your first, you know, thing you have to do is evict somebody. He said, when you're not the one that put them in there. So he said, I'll help you. And I said, oh, good. And he said, and of course, I'm not going to charge anything. He said, I'll just help you get them out of there. I was kind of excited about that because I got to learn how to do it on his dime instead of on my dime. And I wasn't emotionally connected to the tenant. I didn't put the tenant in there. I didn't have anything to do with the tenant and I didn't have to pay for the eviction. And so I was excited that I got to learn how to do that. And so after that, it didn't scare me to do it. I just had to see it once. I had to see the procedure. And so now I'm good. And I've only had to evict like one other person in 25 years. So it's all good. So Sherry says her in-laws' house may need to be rented. So there's a good place for you to start, Sherry. Yeah, getting your policies and procedures together. Okay, any other comments about the insurance? Did you find that you had to purchase weird type policies to cover your rentals at all?
We didn't have to buy weird policies, but we have a weird property that we had to purchase multiple policies on. So we do have one property that has a homeowner's policy and two rental policies. So it was challenging to get it set up, but it's fine now.
Because there's multiple buildings on the same plot, so they wanted a separate policy for each building. So there's three buildings, one plot.
And that makes sense. That makes sense, but triple the premium for you guys. That's a bummer. Yep, I get it. Okay, well, that makes sense. I want to move on. Elise, do you have any comments to make about insurance or LLCs?
No, I owner occupy, so I believe I have, yes, an umbrella as well, just because when I moved out for a little bit, I wanted to make sure that that was taken care of, but nothing weird about it since I live in it.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. And Kyle, how about you when you went to Mansfield? You're just doing a homeowner policy, I'm assuming?
Yeah, actually, we're having a little bumpy ride there because of the condition of the home. People aren't too eager to give us like a full-blown all the bells and whistles policy. So we're actually right now, we're just trying to find a pared down policy. We just want to hedge against a total loss. You know, if it burns down or blows away, that's what we want protected against. So
okay,
that's where we're at right now. Because mostly their big issue is the siding. The house needs siding because all the paint is peeling and chipping off. And of course, you know, then the wood is exposed. So that's the trials and tribulations we're facing with insurance.
I get it. Yeah, we just bought that one down at Middleport, and so right now they're just now doing their underwriting. So we expect them to come back with some sort of a notice giving us 30 days to update like the wiring and plumbing, or else they're not going to cover it. That's our guess. Although no utilities are turned on yet, so nothing can go wrong because there's no power or water to the building yet. But
never say never, Kathy.
Do what?
Never say never.
I know. So anyhow, we'll see how that plays out. But that's, so we're right there in the soup with you, Kyle, when it comes to finding a policy for a property like that. So let's circle back and talk about, now that we know the process of getting something out there advertised and shown and tried to get it rented, what is your criteria? So give me the high points of your criteria. Tammy, what's your criteria?
Come back to us, we can look up that policy and actually tell you.
Okay. All right. Elise, what is yours? Do you have yours handy in your mind? Do you know?
Yes. Says it handy. Can't say it wrong. Pulling it up right now.
Okay. So what's the first thing when you get the application? What's the first thing you ask? What's the first thing you want to verify?
Employment okay. And income, three times the rent.
All right, three times the rent. That's the standard. What's the next thing?
So much going on. Let's see. Okay, so three times the rent and income, a minimum credit score of 600, occupancy is limited to two occupants per bedroom, income from a verifiable source.
Okay.
Pulling up the rest of this.
How about, like, do you do a background check on like criminal activity or court cases, anything like that?
Yes. And to be able to do that, I need a current photo ID and a valid social security number.
Okay. So a photo ID, valid social security.
No evictions or unpaid judgments in the last 5 years and positive references from the past 5 years.
Okay. So you go back 5 years. Okay.
Minimum. Non-smoking, at least inside the house.
Okay. How about criminal activity?
Yes. So
how far back?
5 years.
Okay.
That as well.
Now, I do have one question. Let's say that they don't have anything criminal as far as felonies, but what about misdemeanors? What about traffic violations? Those are criminal, even though they're misdemeanors. How far back do you go? And what if you find out that, you know, they've got like all these traffic violations? Do you count that at all, or do you not pay any attention to that?
To be honest, I have never had that question, and I haven't had that instance pop up. So I can't speak from personal experience.
Now, the only reason I bring it up is that if I've got two candidates equally qualified, but one of them has a list of traffic violations, they probably come down a half a notch to me, because although I'm not really scrutinizing, you know, if they got a speeding ticket, if they've got like a whole list, it kind of tells me that they kind of have a disregard for authority. Right. It tells me a little bit about, you know, the character of the person. You see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is fluid. It kind of depends. You know, if somebody has a stop sign or a speeding ticket, those things happen. I get it. You know, and sometimes they'll have like they weren't showing their tags, or they weren't wearing their seatbelt. So there's all kinds of things like that. But if they, you know, I had one the other day that I just kept scrolling and it just kept coming and coming, and they were just far enough apart that they didn't lose their license because it went back for several years. So they never got more than, I think, what is it, 6 points within mm-hmm. 3 years or something. Anyway, they didn't have the points to lose their license. But I mean, it was like they were up to like 5 points every year or every 3 years. It was like this revolving door of traffic violations. And so it just made me think, you know what? If all things are equal, they probably would be down a half a notch on my list of people that I'm going to offer the unit to. So there's that. The criminal, the smoking, the evictions, the judgments. Yep, I see everything else that you've got there. Let me think what else. Oh, do you check any social media?
Especially if they respond off of Facebook, that's kind of one of my first things, is to take a look at their profile. See if I can pull up any information on them, or at least what type of information they're posting. Mm-hmm. Helps to tell if it's a scam too, because, you know, recently made profiles, one or two pictures, you know, those messages that are a lot of grammar and spelling mistakes. So that kind of mm-hmm. helps me weed out if I even need to answer the people, or answer them, yes, but answer them appropriately and not get my hopes up.
Yep, I get it. And I had a couple actually, that they looked good so far. You know, their income was good. Their credit was good. They had the right number of people in the bedrooms. They had the photo ID. They had the valid social security number. They didn't have any evictions. They didn't have any judgments. I was like, wow, okay, you know, I'm 10 for 10, you know, let's keep going. They were non-smokers. They didn't have any criminal background. They had maybe a speeding ticket, but nothing major. And then I pulled up their social media, and it was all F you with guns and
yeah.
And I was like, oh, do I and this was a unit in a multi-unit building, and I'm like, am I gonna put them in there with my single girl with a baby next door? Probably not. So yeah, so I think it's important. Anything that we've missed? Anybody else want to jump in there? Anything else that you check that we haven't mentioned? Tammy, David, you got anything on your list that Elise doesn't have?
I was going to say, ours is really close. Starts, applicant must be 18 years of age or older.
Okay. Must
be deemed an adult under applicable law. So if somebody has been emancipated,
we
could consider them.
Okay.
We have maximum occupancy, good Lord, 2 persons per bedroom, plus we do a plus 1 additional per home. So we would allow, you know, mom and dad and a baby in
okay.
a 1 bedroom.
Okay.
Housing is 3 times the monthly rent income. Sorry, it's 3 times the monthly rent. Or they have a housing voucher. Their housing voucher and income must be a minimum of 30% of monthly rent.
Okay.
We'll ask for pay stubs. So prior evictions may result in automatic denial of application. So we didn't want to write too many absolutes into the policy. So we have landlord may consider circumstances related to eviction and the length of time that has passed since the eviction.
Okay.
So, you know, if it was 10 years ago and they were 18 and, you know, just got their fired from their first job, but now they're 28 and have been gainfully employed for the past 6 years, you know.
Right. I see where you're going with that. Yep.
And then for criminal, we do an evaluating, and I'll just read it, an evaluating applicant's criminal history, landlord will conduct an assessment of the risk to persons or property posed by an applicant that may consider the type of crime, the severity of the crime, the facts or circumstances surrounding the crime, again, the length of time, the age of the applicant at the time of the crime, and evidence of rehabilitation efforts. So again, people make mistakes, and people who are trying to overcome those mistakes and make up for those mistakes, we wanted to give credit to that and not automatically disqualify them. But we do go on to say that convictions for the manufacture or distribution of controlled substances will result in an automatic denial of the application. So we are not going to create drug dens.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I get it. All right. That's a pretty good list. Does everybody have any questions or anything you want to add to that list of something that you would double check?
I don't know, but this is a really good one for somebody who's thinking about this to be listening to, because I had no idea some of those things that you had to check.
Now, I will add a couple of more. How about the sex offender registry? Does everybody check that?
Mm-hmm.
It usually will come up in their criminal if you're looking. It'll usually come up there, but sometimes it does not. So I will just mention that when you're checking social media, also check the sex registry for the area or for their addresses.
Now, so do you just automatically deny people who are on the sex offender list?
I do, because all of a sudden I can't rent my other units. I'm not allowed to put a baby or anyone with kids, and all of a sudden it limits what I can do with the rest of my units.
Well, what about a single family?
Again, I try to steer away from it. You don't want to be the landlord that, you know, that everybody
runs
is
the neighborhood down.
Yeah, you got to be, because then all of a sudden other families, they, you know, they don't want their kids
right
walking past that house on their way to school. And you become the bad person in the neighborhood. And I understand there are situations there. Now, if I had a house that was way out in the country and it wasn't next to anything else, maybe, depending on the story, you know, you always get into the story where I was 18, she was 17, and the parents filed charges, you know, that kind of thing. You always get into right. some of those kind of stories. So, but that's a tough one. But I do check that. Okay, anything else? Anybody else think of anything else?
No, I don't have anything new, but just we did have one applicant who applied and she had some criminal history and it wasn't anything really bad, but we ended up denying her just because it was a...
Every July, she had a disorderly conduct charge.
Yeah, every July she had disorderly conduct. And around that time, she had a lot of speeding or drunk driving charges. And so we decided it just went to kind of your example. It went to her
pattern
of bad behavior.
Well, I have one more suggestion. I actually use Been Verified. It's an online platform, runs about $36 a month. I just pay for a membership. I run all of my tenants through there. Now, it warns you that you're not allowed to use this for housing or blah, 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 blah. And then you have to swear that, no, I'm not going to misuse this platform. But the reason I use it is because I want to see a history of their addresses, because sometimes they'll give you the one right before that they're moving from, and that's the only address you then have. And if I go to Been Verified, it gives me a history of that person's addresses. And that way I can go back to those either counties or states or municipalities, and I can pull up if there are any criminal or civil cases against them in those municipalities.
So wouldn't your background check catch that, the paid background check?
Not always, because especially with the gals, a lot of times they legally change their name and it does not pick it up. And my Been Verified gives me all of their aliases, all of the name changes that they've gone through, all of the addresses that particular person has lived at. And it's just another tool in my toolbox. Now, it might match, you know, your background check that you did through Inago. But a lot of times I'll look it up, you know, they'll say, oh, I've lived in Columbus all my life. And I look up their, you know, their last couple of addresses and they're clean, 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 clean. And then I put them over in Been Verified. And I see that they, you know, a few years back, they lived over in Newark in Licking County. So I'll jump over there and pull up the municipal court and put in their name and they had an eviction. Or they had a domestic violence because they were in a relationship and that's why they came back to Columbus, because the relationship went bad. And so then it shows me a little bigger picture about who this person is and what I might expect in my unit. And not to quote Dr. Phil, but he says, you know, future activity or future, what, how does he say that? Usually you can tell past history dictates what their future is going to be like. Very rarely does a tiger change its stripes. And so that's why, again, when we're doing these background checks, we're getting more of an attitude of that tenant more than the actual history. I mean, I understand the history, but if they have an attitude where they say to you, I'm disclosing this to you, I know I screwed up, I'm really trying to make a change, that's huge, because that's telling you that they're taking ownership of that. But when they come and say, nope, clean as a whistle, and you find out they're not, then you're kind of really like, then you're like, oh, what else are they not telling me? You know, is that just the tip of the iceberg? And so again, you have to measure everyone with the same yardstick. You have to run everybody through the same screening process, and you have to have, whether it's a yes, a no, or a maybe. And I that's what I do. When my applications come in, I number them as they're coming in. Like, this is the number one application that came in. This one's number two. This one's number three. And I run them through my list, and they're either a yes, a no, or a maybe. But then I keep them in order that they came in each of the three piles. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So then at the end of the day, when I'm ready to make an offer, I'm going to go straight to the yeses. And I'm going to start offering them on, you know, I'm going to do my backgrounds. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to check their income, verify their employment, see what their credit score is, How many people? Do they have a photo ID? Did they give me their social security number? Are there any evictions, judgments? Are they smokers? The criminal background, the misdemeanors, the social media, the sex registry, run them through Been Verified, check all the other municipal courts. And if they're a yes, 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 all the way down there a go, then I'm going to take the first one that qualified in that yes stack and offer them the unit. I may not have to go any further. But let's say I only have a couple in the yes stack, and I've got like maybe four in the maybe stack. So now the two yeses are like, oh, we already found some place. Thanks anyway. Now I'm over to the maybe stack. So now I have to start looking at those gray areas. You know, why did they have criminal activity? Are they trying to hide it? Did they tell me about it? Are they trying to make a change? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm going with that? And then I can make a judgment. You know, is this somebody that I would want to live next to if I had a baby? And I ask myself that question all the time, you know, and if the answer is no, then I probably don't want to put them in one of my units. Because most of mine are in the city. I've only got one that's way out in the country. All right. Anything else?
We do the same thing. We do the first qualified person, you know, first qualified applicant, but our management company has a matrix where they have weighted averages for different requirements. And they say that, you know, they obviously grade everybody by this matrix, but they feel that helps them get the most qualified applicant, even if it wasn't the first person to apply.
Okay.
So there are other ways to do it as long as you're doing it consistently.
Yes. And in Ohio, you're allowed to do it either way. In Ohio, you're allowed to either take the first qualified applicant or you're allowed to take the best qualified applicant out of the stack. In some states, you have to take the first. You can't just put them all in a pile and take the best. You have to take the first one that qualifies. And so in all practicality, taking the first one that qualifies keeps you safe when it comes to a discrimination suit. Because somebody later might say, why did you pick him when he applied 10 people behind me and you didn't pick me when I qualified? You know, how come you skipped me and picked him? You know, are you discriminating against me because I'm a girl? Did you want a guy in there and I didn't get the unit because I'm a girl? So you got to be careful with that. So I like to practice the take the first one that qualifies instead of taking the best one that qualifies. But, and again, you can do it either way in Ohio right now, as long as you do it consistently the same. Any questions about that? Comments? Kyle, you're being awful quiet.
No, just taking it all in.
Yeah, when you're ready to rent your first unit, right?
Yeah, I'm probably still going to have questions at that time. You know, there's just such a broad topic with so many specifics.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then everybody, you know, again, I like to tell the story. I had my little cottage at the campgrounds for rent, did an open house. All these folks came. This girl came in. Oh my gosh, she was cute as a button, had the great personality. She was wearing a red dress. And I just thought to myself, boy, the girl in the red dress, she's the one. She's the one. And I did all the applications. And that's when I wasn't doing applications online. Everybody was filling out an application. I had clipboards with my paper application and everybody's filling out. So at the end of the open house, I hand all of the applications to my daughter, Jen. And I said, run these. And I had them numbered in the order they came in. So Jennifer, she was running all the applications and she said, Mom, she said, and this is when I was picking the best, not the first. I was going with the best applicant in the pile because that was kind of what everybody was doing back then. She said, Mom, I put him in the order that you should offer the unit. Well, I looked at the top application and it was this couple. They never said anything. They just quietly came in and looked around. They kind of turned their nose up a little bit because it's a real tiny little cottage. They shrugged at each other and they left. They filled out an application, you know, well, okay, we'll do an application. And they left. So I'm thinking they're not even interested, you know. Anyway, she said, that's your number one. person when I do all of this criteria list. And I'm like, well, yeah, what does she know? What does my daughter know? Yeah, they didn't even seem interested. And I'm like, it's going to be the girl in the red dress. So I'm leafing through this stack of applications. The girl in the red dress was on the bottom. I said, okay. I said, we have a problem here. I said, you pick the couple that's not even interested to be the first person I should offer the unit to. You put my choice, which is the girl in the red dress, at the bottom of the stack. I want to know why. And she said, well, Mom, she said, I found her previous addresses. I looked them up in their municipalities. She's been through 4 divorces. There's 4 baby daddies. All 4 baby daddies are felons. And all the babies are under the age of 5. And so you're going to have 4 felons in and out of the condo or in and out of this little cottage at the campgrounds, which meant she qualified, but these 4 dads are going to be in and out of there. And Jen said, and then she herself has been evicted twice. She's got a judgment against her. She's got a criminal record. The guys all have criminal. She said, how are you going to get her in there? And I'm like, she never told me any of that and did not put any of that on her application. That all came out from, my daughter should be a PI. I'm just saying. And so none of that was on the application. So anyhow, I said, you know what? I've got to work the system. I keep preaching that, work this. So I picked up that top application. I called that couple. They're still there. They have been in that unit now for like 8 years. And when I called them, she turned in all of her excitement. Remember, they didn't hardly say anything to each other and barely, you know, looked at the unit. And she said, oh, hon, it's the one we wanted. He's like, oh, good. They're still there. So work your system. The system works. And I don't know what happened to the little girl in the red dress, but I really liked her anyway. So there you have it. So that's how it works. Okay. Any ahas, anything that anybody learned an aha moment today that they didn't know before, or something you added to your list that you didn't have?
I have a list now.
Okay. That's Sherry's aha. She now has a list. Good, good, good.
I would have to say just the site you were talking about, can you reference that again where you can pay a subscription and look
Been Verified, B-E-E-N Verified, Been mm-hmm. Verified. There's 101 of those kind of sites out there. I happen to like that one the best so far. Mm-hmm. And you can reverse search. You can throw a phone number in and reverse backwards. You can throw a name in, you can throw an address in. So you can search by several different ways. And it's not perfect. It's just picking up public record. But what it does is it might give you a little insight that you didn't have. Mm-hmm. And then it prompts you, like if I find an address that I didn't have, it prompts me to find out what state, what county is this address, and then go research, put the person's name back in that county municipal court to see if there's any record there. And that's probably where I find the most advantage of using Been Verified, is it gives me those addresses.
That's what's referred to as skip tracing.
It's a form of skip tracing. Again, I think my daughter would be very good at that. She seems to be able to sleuth it out for some reason, which is why I like to just hand her my applicants and let her do it. Because I get, if I'm the one doing the open house, I start to already decide who I like. And even if you tell yourself you're not going to do that, you sometimes do. And so that's why she hasn't seen them. And that way she's a lot more objective at looking at the criteria list than what I am. And if she sees a divorce, she finds the spouse's name and then she searches for him, because he's going to be in and out of your house if that's a minor child.
We've never done that. That's a good idea.
And we all know how that works. You know, one minute they're mad and the next minute they're living together again, you know. And so it's like, yeah, probably ought to do a little bit of homework on this guy too. And again, it's only public record, so you don't need his permission on an application because it's public record. This, the BIN verified is only pulling up public record, but it is giving you an address that you can then go pull up that particular municipal court to see if there's any cases. And especially sometimes I find that there's still cases that are open. They're still warring. There's still some fighting going on. And I'm like, I don't want that going on in my house, especially if I'm in a multi-unit, you know, like I've got four units in one building and now this one couple's going to, they're still in the middle of their battle, of their divorce battle or whatever. Because it happens. It happens. I get it. All right. Any other ahas? Tammy, David, did you guys have an aha? Is it the searching for the X?
Yeah, I think that, and based on something you, I mean, this similar conversation one other time when you were talking about how you show the place and then Jennifer does the background, we started doing that also because whoever shows it does form an opinion about the people. So it made it a little more, I don't know, more fair, I guess.
Because see, I probably wouldn't have even offered it to that one couple because I was convinced that they weren't interested by just the way they acted when they were there. I was just convinced that, well, there's no reason to call them. They're not interested.
Now you know that they were the quiet people, good tenants that you were never going to hear from for 8 years. So
exactly. I haven't heard one time their air didn't work in 8 years and I had to send my HVAC guy out and recharge their air unit. That's it. Yeah, faithfully pay their rent on time. They never call. I never get any complaints in the neighborhood. And in the campgrounds, everybody's in there real tight. And, you know, they always park their car where they're supposed to. They always do their trash on the day they're supposed to. I mean, just model tenants. And I wouldn't have called them. So, because I thought for sure they weren't interested. So it's all good. All right. Kyle, any aha from you?
No, I don't think so. But you know, the systems like you're talking about, we're preached to use those in real estate too. You've got to treat everybody the same because, you know, discrimination is real. And even if it's not discrimination, someone wants, you know, some reason to throw mud at you. So yeah, systems and treating everybody the same is very important.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. And if you've ever been on the other end of that and felt like you've been discriminated against, and back early on in my career in corporate America, I oftentimes did not get a promotion because the guy in the room got the promotion instead of me. And you know, I could prove that I was at least as qualified, if not more qualified in several cases, but yet I didn't get the promotion. And so over the years, it has become an issue to where it is addressed now. So I'm happy for that. And I do think, you know, some of these couples looking, or singles or couples, folks looking for places to rent, it is hard to find a place that's safe. And sometimes you do get the short end of the stick in a relationship and you're trying to pick up the pieces and put your life back together. And sometimes you just need a break, you know? You just need somebody to ask you some more questions and give you a chance. But you do have to have a place to start. So I think we have a pretty good list put together. I will include all of this in the replay. So anybody that wants to go and get a copy of it, I'll have it over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tapping in today. Thank you so much. We'll see everyone next time. Hey, and Tammy, thanks for that referral for the restaurant. I'll check it out.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye, guys.
And I haven't heard back from my lady for June 5th. I will let you know as soon as I know.
Okay. Yep. Keep me posted, Cherry. All right. See everybody soon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.